I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday Happier Happy Hour. We're rolling through it. Your calls could be a big part, 844-967-2789. But Dom, let's come back to the reporting at the Washington Post. We're talking about what may soon be revealed through the January 6th hearings, but we're teaching you first. So, you know, if you miss a couple minutes, you'll be okay. Their idea, talking about the Republican idea to steal the election, the coup, looking for a plan. Their idea was that state legislatures could step in if the election had been marred by massive fraud or illegality. The Trump campaign pushed the fraud narrative, even though the president and other top officials were told over and over, even by allies, that there was no evidence to support it. Committee evidence and testimony have shown. Here's a quote from Edward Foley, a Ohio State University law professor. That's the most important point to keep in mind here. The whole predicate was nonsense. By November 28th, Eastman had penned a seven-page memo titled "The Constitutional Authority of State Legislatures to Choose Electors." Internal emails show that a copy was sent to White House staffers with a covered note that read, "For POTUS." POTUS, that'd be the former POTUS, that'd be Trump. Another copy was circulated to members of the Arizona House of Representatives by a member who added that it would likely take only courage to act.
Oh, just have a little courage.
If they only had a heart, Dom. A little bit more. Already, Trump advisors were considering how they might attempt to use the alternative elector slates to derail Biden's win at a joint session of Congress in January. Here's our Wisconsin connection, Dom. Kenneth Cheesebro, a Trump legal advisor, argued in an internal memo that January 6th, not December 14th, was the hard deadline for winning the election, particularly if Trump's electors meant to declare him the victor in December. Now, here in the Wisconsin state capitol, the December 14th date is pertinent because that's when we, had the real electors. They came and they voted for Joe Biden. But there was also an alternative fraudulent slate of electors that apparently replicated the documents, sent it off to the National Archives, and claimed that Donald Trump had won the state of Wisconsin despite the audits, the vote tally, every other damn thing, saying nothing happened here.
Crudy, he goes on to write, "It may seem odd that the electors pledged to Trump and Pence might meet and cast their votes on December 14th, even if at that juncture the Trump-Pence ticket is behind in the vote count and no certificate of election has been issued in favor of Trump and Pence. However, a fair reading of the federal statute suggests that this is a reasonable course of action."
Does it?
Does
a fair
it,
reading?
Well, I mean, if
your
he, if
preferred
he,
reading.
If he writes it, it must be true. Still, as the day approached, Cheeseboro seemed concerned about whether Trump electors could meet a set of state laws that govern how electoral college process works. In a December 9 memo, he flagged that some states had laws that might prove difficult to comply with. Oh, no. Michigan, for instance, requires that electors meet in the Senate chamber of the state capitol. An awkward requirement, he wrote, given that Gretchen Whitmer, the governor, would be presiding over the meeting of Biden's electors in the same spot. He termed Nevada law extremely problematic for the effort because it required the involvement of the Secretary of State, who had already certified Biden's win. You know, problematic, right? Extremely problematic. These are the current laws they're trying to do a workaround.
Well, those were the problematic ones, but there are some where they weren't problematic at all, Dom.
Crudy, he concluded the plan was unproblematic in Arizona and Wisconsin, slightly problematic in Michigan, and somewhat dicey in Georgia and Pennsylvania. Cheeseboro, bro, did not respond to a request for comment. Despite the pessimistic prognosis, the campaign pushed forward, organizing the effort, appearing to simply ignore the provisions of state laws flagged by the Massachusetts lawyer. Rebuffed by the state capitol security guard, the fake Michigan electors failed to meet in the state's Senate chamber, decamping instead to the state party headquarters to sign their documents. The Secretary of State played no role with the Republican electors in Nevada. In Georgia, a group of so-called electors took seats around a U-shaped conference room table at a hearing room at the state capitol. A printer nearby hastily installed by a Trump campaign aide in case new certificates were needed to be run off on the spot. The Trump campaign had instructed them in advance to tell no one of the plan, not even Capitol security guards. So once again, we see that the Trump campaign in a different state, as we've heard here in Wisconsin, involved, not only involved, also keep your mouth shut. Your duties are imperative to ensure the end result, a win in Georgia for President Trump, but will be hampered unless we have a complete, unless we have complete secrecy and discretion.
A can't talk about Fight Club.
Don't talk about Fight Club. On the ground, Trump electors have said they believe they were gathering just in case their actions were later ratified by a court or a legislature. From taking a lot of political science courses, I knew that if you miss a deadline for doing this, you can't come back later and rework it, said Robert Spindell Jr., who signed an elector certificate for Trump in Wisconsin. It was generally the view of the attorney that should Trump win some states in these cases, this had to be done. So Robert Spindell Jr., he's the WEC guy. He's a Wisconsin Election Commissioner, right? Right. He's also one of the six commissioners here in Wisconsin. False he took Trump a couple elector. Of political science courses, so, you know, he knows.
I took a couple of political science courses, so, you know, I also know that what he's describing is a coup attempt, Tom.
At 3:11 p.m., the day before the faked elector is meant, Eastman sent an email to a Pennsylvania lawmaker stressing he too understood that additional steps would be needed to give them legal standing. The electors absolutely need to meet, he wrote. Then, if the legislature gets some spine, those electoral votes will be available to be certified by the legislature. In the weeks before and after the real electors met, Trump and his advisors engaged in a frenzied effort to arm twist state legislatures into validating their electors. Trump lawyer Rudy Giuliani, for instance, testified publicly to state lawmakers in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, urging them to act. Tuesday's hearing, this is tomorrow, will also focus on those efforts, committee members have said, featuring live testimony from Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, his colleague Gabriel Sterling, and Arizona's House Speaker Rusty Bowers. But as that strategy to get legislative sign-off broke down, the campaign appeared to settle on the idea that the existence of the rival slates was enough to give Pence room to act. So you see how they don't need much.
Just a little rope to hang the democracy with.
Exactly. Exactly. And it just keeps getting worse and worse. By January 3rd, Eastman was circulating a memo that argued Pence should cite the bogus electors as legitimate, citing what he claimed were problems with how the vote was conducted. He wrote, "There are thus dual states of electors from seven states. The lesson that we're seeing is that the people who drank all the Kool-Aid, they become increasingly unhinged and untethered to reality as the process unfolds," Foley said. "They just double down and triple down and spun more and more off into their own delusional world." Ultimately, Pence refused to recognize the Trump elector slates, earning him the president's anger and making him a target of the mob that ransacked the Capitol on January 6th. You remember? Hang Mike Pence! Hang Mike Pence.
A little bit more here, Dom. I'm going to bring us to a conclusion. 4 days later, after Congress confirmed Biden's win and Trump prepared to leave office, Eastman received an email demanding to know what had happened. "Tell us in layman's language what the heck happened with the dual electors. Please," read the email, which was from a person whose name is redacted in the version released publicly. In his response, Eastman admitted the facts. The electors never had legal standing. No legislature certified them because governors refused to call them into session, so they had no authority, he wrote. Alas, he concluded. Well, you know, our coup attempt failed.
Well, you know.
Too bad, so sad. It was a great legal theory for a coup attempt.
I mean, it failed this time. But as the saying goes, to paraphrase, right, and if they are not held to account for this, it's a dry run for next time, and it's going to keep on. I mean, this kind of behavior has to be dealt with. And as you know, as more of the information comes out and we read more and more, of course, you know, Merrick Garland has to act. He's got to act at some point. And Fannie Willis from Fulton County, she hopefully will sooner than later I mean, I hope to see, you know, some actions on the New York State Attorney General's civil actions against Donald Trump. They're supposed to testify at some point soon. So
July 15th, I believe.
These are all kind of slotted for sworn depositions. They're all kind of coming to a head at the same time. I could certainly see, you know, if we have another week at least of testimony from the J6 committee, and I wouldn't be surprised, literally I wouldn't be, if they have a couple of more. I mean, the whole Ginny Thomas thing, there's so many, you know, rabbit holes to go down. But as the clock runs out on in Georgia and in New York State, you know, Trump could have to be in several places at once defending several different criminal actions, of course, the most serious being an attempted overthrow of our government with the help of not just the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and the white nationalist religious freaks, but the GOP themselves, the state parties, the organization, the national party. They were all a part of this. And here in the state of Wisconsin, I am just so supremely offended that they just so casually, well, you know, it's just in case we win something. Well, what? What are you talking about? When what? You lost
every case.
They lost
all the lawsuits by December 14th, the day that the fraudulent Trump electors swore on an affidavit that they were the legitimate Trump electors from the state of Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Supreme Court had basically killed all avenues of appeal earlier that day. They knew there were no avenues to win a couple. There were no avenues left afforded to them in the state of Wisconsin. They'd been closed. So they knew what they were doing in real time was illegal. And this only worked if you're willing to, what, perpetrate a coup. Because this wasn't a just-in-case plan. This was a plan that they acted upon.
They say it's just-in-case, but we know, that knowing the reporting, and I'm sure this testimony will be out tomorrow, which we'll again reiterate, they wanted to give Pence a reason to, you know, say no. And they figured even if they couldn't follow through on this whole, the state laws of all these, you know, different laws, and, you know, some are easy and some are bad, and but it doesn't matter. They just decide, ah, to hell with it anyway. We'll just say your electors and give Pence two slates of electors. And so they knew it was about the pressure. It wasn't about whether or not they would win a case. They have already, as Crudy mentioned, lost all the cases. There were no cases to win. So now it's part of the pressure campaign. So Wisconsin Republicans, Wisconsin GOP, you are a part of the conspiracy to overthrow the government. So what the hell is Josh Call doing? What the hell is Merrick Garland doing? Let's come on, man. What do you need? How do you got to have it laid out in front of you? Because they're going to do it again. They're fighting each other. They're going to start fighting us. Not only the terrible legislation, but the actual threats of violence, the fascism that they're bringing to bear. I mean, come on. There's got to be some law and order types out there, right?
Well, Dom, all the law and order types, if they weren't part of the false slate of Trump electors, because let's not forget, that was the highest reaches of the Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin. If they did not find themselves in that, you know, line, if you know what I'm saying, well, maybe they were in the line with the 15 Republican lawmakers that wrote a letter to Mike Pence on January 5th, the day before the insurrection. 14 assembly people, guys like Rantham, Chase Sortwell, and one Republican, Wisconsin State Senator Andre Jacques. They wrote a letter to the vice president the day before the insurrection saying, "Sir, would you please throw out the electoral outcomes and just throw it back to the state legislatures? Let us figure it out amongst ourselves." Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Figure it out. Dial the phone. 844-967-2789. Dom, you got thoughts here?
I'm furious, Curdy. I am just absolutely furious. This unequal application of the law, these claim to be do-gooders and Christians and whatever the hell they claim they are, and all they seek is the power, and they use any avenue they possibly can to try to obtain it, and then lie about it. You gotta lie about it. You gotta keep quiet, right? That's what the Trump campaign said. Gotta keep quiet. Don't say anything about it. And then all we have left is what? Department of Justice, Attorney General Call, Attorney General Garland. What is going on? Let's see some action, people.
I'm sorry, man. We can't talk about Fight Club. come back. More Devil's Advocates. One last segment for your phone calls. 844-96-PARTY.